It's so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm really thankful for this opportunity to bring the Word of God to you this evening. Today we continue with our sermon series, You Shall Receive Power. And this phrase is taken from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus told his disciples before he ascended into heaven to wait for the promise of the Father, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will empower Jesus' disciples to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in visible tongues of fire and rested on the 120 disciples. And then each one began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. And the Jews who had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, they were amazed. How come these Galileans could speak our language? They came from different nations, but they heard them speaking in their own language. And some even mockingly said that the disciples had drunk too much. They were consumed with wine. But Peter stood up and he explained that what the crowd had just witnessed was a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. The Old Testament prophet Joel had prophesied that in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh and everyone. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes, there will be a greater manifestation of the supernatural. Unlike Old Testament times, when the Holy Spirit only came upon certain ones, like the prophets, the priests, and the kings, the Holy Spirit has now come to live in every believer, and he empowers us to live victoriously and to manifest his presence in the world. Yet how is it that many Christians still live defeated and powerless lives? I believe it's because we are still striving to live life in our own strength and on our own terms. We are not living the Spirit-empowered life that Christ has ordained for us to live. Now, time does not permit me to go into this, but attached to my sermon outline, which is in your church bulletin, are two pages of notes which explains why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I do apologize for the squash words. I was just trying to save the trees, so I'm trying to just squeeze everything into two pages. But please do take your time to read these notes. They are extracts from the book, The Holy Spirit and You, by Dennis and Rita Bennett. One of the things the Holy Spirit does for us is to give us spiritual gifts. Can I have the slide? Okay, these gifts are not meant for ourselves, but they are meant to build up the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ, like the body of Christ here. And Paul exhorted Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, not to neglect his spiritual gift. Now, we all know Billy Graham, right? He was a very gifted evangelist, and he used his gift to impact millions of lives with the gospel of Christ. And some of us who came to Christ 41 years ago in a Billy Graham crusade are today's pastors and spiritual leaders. You may say, well, I'm not a Billy Graham. But you know what? The Holy Spirit who empowered Billy Graham to do what he did, it's the same Holy Spirit who lives in you, who lives in me, who empowers you, and who empowers me. So don't settle for anything less than a Spirit-filled, powerful life. Don't settle for just an ordinary life. Through the use of the spiritual gifts, we become channels of God's grace to others. Can I have the next slide? We function as the hands and the feet of Christ, and his ministry to others flows through us. Let me give you a very simple example. Take, for example, a man loses his wife. Okay, she dies. Well, he can take comfort in the fact that he will see her once again in heaven's glory. But the body of Christ has the resource to bring this bereaved man even greater comfort. When believers with the gift of mercy visit him and lend him their listening ears. When those with the gifts of administration see to all the funeral arrangements for his wife. And when someone with the gift of hospitality invites this man to his house to spend some nights with him and his family. When everyone is exercising their gift, reaches out to this man, it is as if Christ himself reaches out to take care of this man. And so through the exercise of different gifts, believers become channels of God's grace to this grieving person. Now, we in the church today can so easily forget that every member of the body, yes, every one of you, you have your role and your function in the body. And whenever there is a need, we can organize ourselves to meet the needs of members and not leave everything to the poor pastor. See, the pastor's role is really to equip members to meet one another's needs. And just imagine if everyone in the church exercised his or her spiritual gift, the multiplier effect would be phenomenal. The church would be more powerful. But the sad truth is this, that many Christians are robbing the body of Christ by failing to exercise their spiritual gift. For the good of the entire body, only about 20% in the church are serving and carrying the load for the rest of the members. So my prayer is that, you know, each one of us will discover our spiritual gift and use it to strengthen this community in the 5 p.m. service, to strengthen the church community in St. Andrew's Cathedral, and to strengthen the church community in the body of Christ in Singapore. And we've seen how, through celebration of hope, when we pull together our strengths, we can be a powerful force to advance God's kingdom here on earth. Spiritual gifts are given to every believer by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives to each one as he desires. So every gift is a good gift. Okay, don't say that, you know, well, I prefer your gift, you know, rather than mine. Okay, every gift is a good gift. And God gives good gifts to his children. And the purpose of giving those gifts is really for the good of the body of Christ. Next slide. A spiritual gift is not a natural talent. Here are some differences. A talent is the result of your genetic makeup or even training. While a spiritual gift is given by the Holy Spirit. Anyone can have a talent, but only Christians have spiritual gifts. So if you are a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. And while both talents and spiritual gifts should be used for God's glory and for ministry to others, spiritual gifts are focused on these tasks, whereas talents can be used entirely for non-spiritual purposes. So I've set the context now for why we are preaching about spiritual gifts. So let's now look at the speaking gifts. And the speaking gifts are the gift of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. Next slide. The Corinthian church, okay, if you read 1 Corinthians, they highly prize the gift of tongues. Why? Because it was visibly supernatural and impressive. So in a church setting, in a church gathering, everyone wanted to speak in tongues and all at the same time. So there was disorder because everyone was speaking at the same time. No one understood what the other person was saying. Paul said that the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, edifies himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. So while he would like everyone to speak in tongues for their own personal edification, in a church setting, Paul prefers the use of the prophetic gift because it is spoken in a language all can understand and it will edify everyone in the church gathering. Next slide. Speaking in tongues is helpful in a public gathering if it's accompanied by interpretation. Everyone hears it, everyone benefits from it. So Paul challenged the Corinthians' practice of speaking in tongues without interpretation. In fact, he disallowed it. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 and 28. Because according to Paul, the whole point of us coming together for corporate worship is not personal experience, but it's really to build one another up in the body of Christ. Now, having said that, I would like to just encourage all of you to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to give you the gift of tongues for your personal edification. When a believer is baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, the usual manifestation of such infilling is speaking in tongues. Let me just share very briefly my own personal testimony. When I was a new believer, I was discipled in a church that was very word-based and very focused on evangelism. Every Saturday, we will go out knocking on doors, in the HDB flats, and preaching the gospel and bringing in converts. And in those days, we were very traditional. Only the organ was allowed in worship. No guitars and definitely no drums. Now, when the charismatic movement began in Singapore in the 1970s, those in my denomination, including myself, were very skeptical about this thing called speaking in tongues. And I actually said, oh, I don't need this stuff. Why do I need to speak in tongues? Or those who speak in tongues, they think they're so super spiritual. So I rejected this gift until God Himself led me into a deeper understanding of it. And that happened when I was at a very low point in my spiritual life. I had reached a stage of being very close to being burnt out, striving to serve God in my own strength, according to my own human understanding. And slowly, I began to backslide. At the end of 2 years, I was on the verge of giving up my faith. And I prayed to God. I said, God, please help me. Because if you don't, I'm going to die spiritually. I'm going to leave the faith. And that was the turning point for me. That was when I began the journey of discovering the wonderful gift of tongues. Anyway, to cut the long story short, from a skeptic, I became fully convinced that tongues was God's gift to His church. And because I had so many intellectual questions that I couldn't find answers to, God very graciously led me to read this book, The Holy Spirit and You, by Dennis and Rita Bennett. And it was like the book was written for me because every question that I had was answered in that book. So I highly recommend it to those who would want to look deeper into this gift of tongues. So in one church gathering, my former church pastor in Church of Our Savior, he asked those of us who wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive the gift of tongues, to just step forward. So I did that because by that time, I was already satisfied that this was God's gift for the church. And when I stood there and he prayed for me, I felt a warmth coming over me. My tongue began to roll ever so gently, and it was producing sounds. I had received the gift of tongues. And from then onwards, my spiritual life became more empowered. I had a greater love for God, a greater hunger for His Word, and a greater passion to evangelize those who are lost. And the first person I brought to church after this experience was my uncle, who was suffering from terminal lung cancer. And you know, I really didn't expect him to accept Christ at that very first church meeting. But guess what? He did. I was really overjoyed. And when I don't know how to pray about a certain situation, I would pray in tongues. And then God would give me illumination. Now there's much more that I can say, but time does not permit me to do so. So there is tremendous benefit from the use of this gift for our personal edification. Next slide. So we should desire it. We should ask God for it. And I hope that all of you would really want it, because it will make a tremendous difference in your spiritual walk with the Lord, in your spiritual journey. Interpretation of tongues, well, it complements the gift of tongues. Next slide. It enables the person to interpret what the person who spoke in tongues has said. And it's really for the benefit of the whole community. And the interpretation may be given by the person who spoke in tongues or given by another person. And I've sat through a church service some years ago, in fact, many years ago, not some years ago, where a person spoke in tongues and another person stood up and gave the interpretation. And it was really beautiful. I now turn our attention to the gift of prophecy. Next slide. The Old Testament prophets, they claim to speak the very words from God and with God's authority. And very often they would speak for God in the first person. For example, you have the prophet in 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 13, saying this, and I quote, "You shall know that I am the Lord." And from Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5, "I am the Lord, and there's no other. Besides me, there's no God." They speak for God in the first person. But in the New Testament, there appears to be no parallels. The only ones who claim they spoke with divine authority are the apostles. Next slide. So the New Testament counterpart of the Old Testament prophets could be the apostles. Now in the New Testament, the word prophet has a range of meanings. In a general sense, it could mean proclaimer, announcer, spokesman. In another sense, it meant someone who has knowledge through supernatural means. So take, for example, the Samaritan woman whom Jesus met by the well in Sychar. Now she perceived that Jesus was a prophet because Jesus had knowledge of her past and even her present relationship. New Testament prophets, they do not claim to speak the very words of God or with divine authority, but they speak in human words, something that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon them. So Scripture, in fact, commands us to weigh what the prophet has said. You can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 29 to 30. Next slide. With the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the prophecy of Joel had been fulfilled. And based on that prophecy, anyone could prophesy because now everyone could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Next slide. Mike Bickle has come up with helpful categories to demarcate the different levels of prophetic gifting. And you can find a write-up on the back, page 2 of your notes, okay, the bottom half. And basically, he categorized the different levels of prophetic gifting as, number one, simple prophecy. And this is something that every one of us can do, okay, giving a word of encouragement as the Spirit impresses upon us to do so. He talks about those with prophetic gifting, second level, where they are the ones who receive more revelations and visions and dreams. The third is the prophetic ministry, and then the prophetic office. Now, you can go back and read those notes yourself, but we can all operate on the first level of simple prophecy. So when you are praying for somebody, learn to listen to what God is saying. And if the Lord impresses upon you something, that could be the word, you know, He wants you to release to that person whom you're praying for. So you're praying, you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, not according to your own human understanding, but you're listening in to what the Lord is impressing upon you, a word of encouragement for the person they are praying for. And I hope that all of us will be able, you know, to practice this more and more. Okay? So in the early church, prophecy seems to be widespread. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we learn that prophecy is something that was spontaneous. It was a spirit-filled message. Next slide. It was delivered in a public meeting, and it was intended for the encouragement and the edification of the people of God. And I hope that, you know, we will maybe receive a word from the Lord, right? If you feel that that's your gift, if you sense that that's your gift, and you're receiving a lot of revelations, you know, word from God, by all means, please do approach Deaconess June, you know, or the pastoral staff, and share that word with them. And they can help you to discern whether this is of the Lord or not, and whether or not it should be released for the consumption of the wider body to encourage everyone in this community. No, we want to give space to the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. We want Him to speak to us, okay, through the prophetic word. So I'd like to encourage all of you to just be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And if He impresses upon you something that you feel would edify the body, please share with Deaconess June or any of the pastoral staff. So although some people are called prophets because they frequently gave prophecies, the implication of Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is that this gift is available to everyone. Next slide. Let me explain a bit more about this gift. There's a threefold process involved in giving a prophecy. Number one is receiving the revelation. Number two is interpreting it accurately, having the right understanding of what that revelation means. Number three is the application, applying it correctly. Okay, so asking questions like, when and how will this come to pass? To whom does it apply? What should I do with it? Who should hear it? And what will bring the maximum amount of edification to God's people? You know, in most cases, the revelation that we receive is correct. But the problems arise with the interpretation and the application of that revelation. And often revelation comes in bits and pieces. And that's where we need to be patient. We need to wait on the Lord for more understanding before we proceed any further. And we must always resist the temptation of coming up with our own imagined interpretation. Okay? Sometimes the revelation can be symbolic and it can only be understood after the events have taken place. So, for example, someone had a vision of a dark cloud over a businessman, and the person wrongly interpreted it to mean that the businessman was involved in unscrupulous business deals and his company would be facing a financial crisis. Now, it got the businessman really worried and upset. As far as he was concerned, he wasn't involved in anything shady. Later, it turned out that his business partner was committing CBT and taking company funds for his own personal use. We also must bear in mind that God does not always work according to our timetable. His timetable is different from ours. And so if we move ahead of God's timing, we will find ourselves trying to go through a door that has not yet been opened, and we will be very frustrated. So when we receive a prophetic word from someone, we must hold it, we must wait, we must not seek to rush into interpreting it or acting upon it until God Himself confirms it. Next slide. So, brothers and sisters, we must embrace the prophetic because Scripture teaches us to desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. To desire earnestly to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 39. And do not despise prophecy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 20. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the prophetic ministry, signs and wonders in nature, as we have read from Acts chapter 2, they are clearly part of God's agenda for the end times, and we are certainly living in the end times. Now, let me just add a word of caution. No matter how impacted we may be by prophetic words, and personally, I've been very blessed by those who have released prophetic words over me. And this was, I can recall certain pivotal points in my spiritual journey. Prophetic word was released over me to confirm my calling into the full-time ministry, and that was by somebody in Faith Community Baptist Church. And then a prophetic word was also released over me to confirm that I have a pastoral calling. That was by a pastor from Malaysia who was ministering in Singapore. And then a prophetic word was released also to confirm my calling as a pastoral intercessory leader in the intercession ministry. And that was given by Pastor Benedict Rajan, who will be our camp speaker in the combined 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. camp in December. Okay, so I think it's December 3rd to 6th. So please keep those dates free and make sure you book a place in the camp. Okay, Pastor Benedict Rajan is really very sharp in the prophetic word, and I've been very, very blessed by his ministry. Now, in conclusion, next slide, I just want to say that God wants us to pursue the things of the Spirit, and He wants us to ask for more through prayer. Ask for spiritual sight, ask to see in dreams and in visions, and stay spiritually alert by regularly asking, Lord, what are you saying or doing? Show me. Let there be a spiritual hunger in our hearts for more of the things of the Spirit. And this will help us to grow in our ability to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now let me end with the words of Charles F. Stanley. He's the author of The Spirit-Filled Life, and you'll find the complete quote in your outline. Okay, he says this, and I quote, "Don't settle for an ordinary life that lacks power, joy, and meaning. Live the mighty and victorious Christian life you were created to enjoy. Discover the Spirit-filled life and the great gift the Father has given you through His Holy Spirit." Close quotes. Let us pray. Father, in the stillness of this evening, we have heard your voice through your word. And so, Lord, we pray that we will have that deep hunger for more of the things of the Spirit. We want to discover our spiritual gift and exercise it for the benefit of everyone in this community, in this church, and in the Singapore church. So, Lord, we pray that the word which has been planted in our hearts like a seed will grow deep roots and will bear fruit in our lives, that we may live powerful, Spirit-filled lives that will greatly impact many others, O God. That we will truly experience, O God, Lord, what it means to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. So, Father, we pray, O God, that we will seize every opportunity to learn more, to desire more, to see more, to receive more from you, who is a generous God and who gives, Lord, abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think. This is our humble prayer, God. And we ask, Lord, that you will just minister to each one and help us, Lord, to flow with your Spirit, that we may be right in the center, Lord, of your will for our lives, that we may make a great difference, God, in the lives of others, to advance your kingdom and to see you, God. Lord, indeed, this nation even turning Godward in the days to come, the months to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.